time for you to get your outline out. Hopefully you were handed one of those on the way in. Very rare outline. Don't throw that one away. I put that on eBay when you're done because that's a two-sider. Very, very, very rare. Yeah, we're going for it. Yeah, here we go. I get 2 weeks to prepare. I usually come up with a 3 or 4 hour sermon. So I hope you got nowhere to go tonight. A few weeks back, we looked at a perplexing passage, and it involved Peter coming to Jesus and asking a question. It happened like this in Matthew 18, verses 21 and 22. It says, "Then Peter came to him," that is Jesus, "and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? Jesus said to him, "I do not say that to you, up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. Here Jesus tells Peter that he is to do not limit forgiving someone to just 7 times, but I want you to forgive them 490 times, 70 times 7. We discovered that Jesus' command, what he really was saying, was that you must continue to forgive. It is an ongoing and it is a never-ending practice, forgiving. Well, that command of Jesus certainly leaves us with a heap of other questions, doesn't it? Mainly like, how in the world am I supposed to do that? Am I just supposed to keep getting walked on? Am I just supposed to keep getting taken advantage of? For instance, my elderly parents and my parents are elderly, and I'm the only one who does anything for them. My brothers and sisters don't lift a finger to help out, even though I've asked them numerous times. And to top it off, they even take my parents' money. I try to be forgiving, but I feel like I'm actually approaching 490 times of just taking it. Another illustration, my child, who is a young adult, has lied to me over and over about her job, about where she goes, what she's been doing, and who she's been hanging with. I pay her health care. I pay her car insurance and her phone bill, but I feel like each time I forgive her, nothing changes. I don't want to disown her, but forgiveness isn't bringing about any change. Well, there's just two hypotheticals. Friends, we all have stories that we can tell about how forgiveness either leaves us open to more abuse and vulnerable to more hurt, or we have chosen to shut down on a person, build an impenetrable wall, shutting them out emotionally and even physically. Then we come to church and we read Matthew 18 and see Jesus, the seemingly impossible command to forgive unendingly, and we wind up perplexed, asking God, how do we make forgiveness work? Now tonight, I have some good news for you. We are going to be able to carry out Jesus' instruction on forgiveness, and we are going to be able to find freedom in our hearts, because our hearts are going to be free from bitterness. We will be able to find renewal and restoration in our relationships, and we will find safety in living life to the full as we move forward. It all starts with this. We are going to look at 3 practices. Those practices are absolutely separate, and they must be owned distinctly. The first one, we're going to jump right in. The first one, we already talked about it 2 weeks ago, forgiveness. Forgiveness, gang, has to do with the past. Forgiveness is not holding something against someone who does something to you. It is a letting go. We do not live in the past. And we cannot, as followers of Jesus Christ, drag the past forward and allow it to burden our present. And this practice of letting go, this is a practice that we must repeat over and over and over and become good at. 70 times 7, Jesus said. Jesus is saying, follower, you can develop a habit of not getting insulted or offended by every little thing that is said and done to you. You can be quick to let someone go, let something go, and not allow it to fester in your heart and let it roll over and over in your head. Jesus is saying you can learn to believe the best and see someone for who they really are. However, your process, this letting go, is totally up to you. You must remember that you own this first step in the forgiving process. You own the process of letting things go. When it comes to ownership and responsibility of the forgiving the past, it's all up to you. It's all yours. Only you can choose to let it go and forgive someone. There is no one else involved in this first process of letting go and forgiving. But Pastor Drew, you don't understand. What about the crime they committed against me? Pastor Drew, they don't even seem to care about what they did. Pastor Drew, what prevents them from hurting me again? And by the way, they don't even want to own anything in this process. And they're the ones that did the hurting. Friend, I hear you loud and clear, and I am with you. That's why we must separate the three movements we're going to talk about. Three courses, three processes. Forgiveness, the first one, deals with what happened in the past. And forgiveness is the only way to keep that thing behind us and prevent us from becoming a slave to it. I knew a woman once who had difficulty in her relationships with men. When she shared about her life growing up with me, it became very clear that her father was not a good father. Alcoholism, self-centeredness, anger, and apathy towards his family had caused this girl and her siblings and her mother to survive in kind of a way of life that worked around the negative pull of this man. But what she learned was out of sheer survival, and it was quite dysfunctional. Now, decades later, this woman was struggling to get unstuck from the aversion and distaste that she had developed for men because of the neglect and repugnance of her father. I remember sharing with her that I said, a lot of parents are really just poorly trained kids. They never learned how to be. And a parent who can't make their own life function really has no ability of creating a functional life in someone else, namely their children. Although her father had long since passed away, I said to her, the key to your freedom, the key to your today, and the key to your tomorrow is forgiving your father. It's past time of you being able to let that go. And only you can do that. Westbridge, the action step that we have to remember and practice here is asking ourselves this: have I forgiven the past? Have I let go of what happened to me previously? Have I taken what happened off my list of things to focus on today? If I haven't, well, then know this. The freedom that you're looking for is right in your own hand, and only you can unlock that. This is what Jesus was explaining to Peter. I encourage you. If you are having trouble, if you're stuck here, go back to the message we taught 2 weeks ago, Forgiveness Part 1. Go over it. If you need help, come see me. We'll do what we can to help you get through this first section of forgiving the past. But that's one separate movement. Leave that there. Now we move on to a second movement. Okay, now the item of forgiving the past is explained. Let's move on to the second movement, reconciliation. Gang, in this practice, the two people who are involved in the incident are restored. They're restored to an interactive relationship. You will know that reconciliation has happened when you are satisfied that the past insult has been dealt with and you once again truly want the best for your offender. Now, the time frame for reconciliation is now. It is the present. You may well have someone that you have a thing with, and at this very moment, you are not reconciled to them. Well, friend, the time frame to deal with that is not next year, and it's not long ago in your past. The time frame to deal with that is now. Where forgiveness deals with our past, reconciliation deals with our present. Allow me to jump down one under your outline, and we'll get back to the ownership in a second. The action step to this is forgive the past, reconcile the present. Well, Pastor Drew, how do I do that? Well, gang, here's the thing. You can't reconcile a relationship by yourself. Reconciliation takes two. In step one, forgiveness, letting go, that was all you. But in step two, you can forgive someone their offenses of the past, but you can't make a relationship fixed by yourself. You have to have someone else. Ownership and responsibility is this. Reconciliation cannot be done by just you. It requires two people. Friends, there is a lot of dysfunction that occurs right here in this situation. We forgive someone for what they did, and we think that because we forgave them, we've just reconciled with them. We think the relationship's good, but the truth is, it hasn't. The forgiveness and the reconciliation are two totally separate and distinct things. Once you have forgiven the past, the two parties need to come together, and they need to address what happened. Matthew 18, verse 15 tells us, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault, between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you've gained your brother. Now, in this meeting where the two of you come together, maybe it's the two people saying, you know what? Let's forget about that thing. That was just a dumb moment on both our parts. And forgiveness is accepted, and reconciliation happens. Perhaps there needs to be some ownership for what was said. Maybe there needs to be some ownership for what was done. And many times in that reconciliation meeting, apologies are in order. No matter what the content of the conversation, both parties, though, need to be satisfied with the outcome, and the two will then be reconciled. The insult is removed, the bitterness is avoided, and the two will care for each other by wanting the best for each other. Then we are reconciled. If, however, one party is not willing to own their part, if, however, one party is unwilling to extend forgiveness, or if one party is not willing to let reconciliation happen, it cannot. You forgiving the past will happen. You letting go of the offense and being set free, that'll happen. You have honored what God has told you to do. Here's what God tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live at peace with all men. Gang, forgiving the past is one thing, but it's a separate and different thing, the reconciliation. Jesus said, never, ever stop forgiving. Don't ever stop that process of letting go of the past. But as for reconciliation, Romans chapter 12, verse 18 informs us, we can only do our half. You can only do your half in reconciliation. And that is what has confused many people in the forgiving process. Gang, it would be nice to think that all people are open to reconciliation. It'd be nice. It would be nice to have everyone on the same page of Scripture trying to live at peace with one another. And it would be nice if everyone practiced forgiving the past and longed to reconcile the present. It would be nice, but it wouldn't be reality. And gang, we are called to live in reality, wearing the belt of truth. Romans chapter 12, verse 18 gives us the clue that not every relationship is going to go the distance. And you can't make it happen on your own. In one act, the one of forgiving the past, we can make our heart right. In the other, totally separate movement, has nothing to do with that one, you can and you should extend the hand of brotherhood and sisterhood. That leads us to our final and separate movement, and that's this: wise trust. The time frame for wise trust has to do with the future, and not just the distant future, the future as far as right after things happen. Wise trust determines this: what I will risk happening again and what I will open myself up to. Friends, write this down. There is no trust without wisdom. There is no trust without wisdom. There is only wise trust. Anything else is unmerited gamble. And we are not commanded to do that. Instead, the Bible tells us we are to guard your heart above all else, because it determines the course of your life. The Bible tells us when identifying people that we should trust, we are to evaluate if they are, Matthew chapter 3, verse 8, are they producing fruit that is consistent with repentance, demonstrating new behavior that proves a change of heart and a conscious decision to turn away from sin? That brings us to the ownership and responsibility of wise trust. Gang, when it comes to us determining where we will place our wise trust, the decision has to come from God and from the godly wisdom he has instilled in you and is still instilling in you. We don't trust something to do what it can't do, and we don't trust someone to do what they can't do. If God has shown us they can't do it, we need to honor that. And if something he has shown us can't do what it needs to happen, don't put your trust in it. A few weeks ago, 15 of us went on a motorcycle ride to Tennessee. Now, we had heard of a road called Tail of the Dragon. Well, anything called Tail of the Dragon, I must ride. So I talked 15 other men into doing it, and we headed down. This road has 319 turns in 12 miles. We planned for this, and we all knew this trip was coming. We were all told, prepare. You know what you're dealing with. We're talking about a lot of miles to get to Tennessee, then 319 turns in 12 miles. So I had put a new rear tire on the back of my motorcycle very recently, only a year ago. And that was looking good. I looked at my front tire, and I say that my front tire wasn't so great, but it wasn't finished yet. And I figured it can do the job. I figured it'd be okay. Well, the first 2 days of the trip, which were laid out by an unnamed friend of mine. I would never tell. But an unnamed friend of mine laid out these first 2 days, which turned out to be gruelingly long and very taxing on me and my motorcycle. So by day three, when we get to the Tail of the Dragon and we're slated to run the dragon, I looked at my front tire and it is as bald as a baby's hind end. Woo! Now, I could trust that tire to get me all the way through Tail of the Dragon and all the miles back to New Jersey, but you know what? Godly wisdom tells me that would be an unmerited gamble. That's not trust. that's just an unmerited gamble. God has enlightened me with the information over my lifetime that when the tread has worn off your tire, you are precariously close to the cords of the tire, and when those start showing, your tire will leak and it will fail. The condition did not merit trust, and placing any trust in it wasn't that at all. It was merely a gamble. Therefore, godly wisdom said, find a garage, pay through the nose, and get the tire changed. Well, my wonderful friend Caleb Dean, he found a place that would do that, and we went over and we had the tire changed that unnamed friend had ruined on me. So we got that done and everything was fine. And Dr. Henry Cloud says this: trust deals with both what you are willing to risk happening again and what you will open yourself up to. That's what trust deals with. Godly trust, it does not mean that you're guaranteed that you will never be hurt again, but it does determine what you are willing to risk maybe happening again and what you are prepared to open your heart up to. I had met with a pastor friend a few years back, and he wanted to talk to me, he wanted my opinion. He wanted to know about bringing someone back on his staff who he had worked with before. Now, my friend shared the whole story of how he had ministered alongside this guy, we'll call him Joe. He had worked alongside him for years. But as time went on, Joe started a little power play in the church. Joe was attempting to build an alliance with people that would eventually make him the head pastor over my friend. Well, lots of bad happened, lots of people got hurt, and the church suffered, and Joe was dismissed. Now, 5 years later, Joe comes back, approaches my friend, he's very remorseful, and he wants to be reinstated to his old position. My buddy was asking me what I thought he should do. So I took him through these three separate steps of forgiveness. I asked my buddy, I said, were you angry at Joe and hurt when that rift happened years ago? He says, you bet I was. And I said, have you let go of the anger and hurt since then? And he said, you know what, Drew, it took me a while, but I really have let go of that. I'm not upset or hurt anymore about that. I said, okay. I said, well, the forgiving the past, that's taken care of. Good job. I said, now let's move on to a different subject. Have the two of you talked about what happened? He said, yeah, we have. And I said, and have apologies been made and ownership been taken? He said, yes, I have. And I added, have the two of you reconnected where you can want the best for each other again? He said, we can. I said, well, great, then you're reconciled. My buddy said, yeah, but Drew, I'm not asking you that. I wanna know, should I hire him back? I said, well, hold on, let me pay the bill. And let's go out and sit in my truck outside. I don't want to talk about that here. So I paid the bill. We went out to my truck. And I said, everything we just talked about inside was great. In fact, it's exactly what God wanted you to do. You forgave. You are reconciled. And all is good. I said, but that was that. That was inside. What we're going to talk about now has nothing to do with that. What we're going to talk about out here in the truck is, should you hire this resume that showed up called Joe? I said, now forgetting everything inside, give me Joe's resume as if I was hearing about him for the first time. And my buddy told me about Joe and then got to his past employment. He said, well, he caused a huge church split. He lied about a lot of things for a long time. He was fired from the church. He spent 5 years as a car salesman. And now he wants to minister. And I asked my friend, I says, has this Joe done anything to get help about what happened in this power play 5 years ago? Any counseling? Any preventative measures? My friend said, no, he just prayed about it. I then tell my friend, I says, look, here's the deal. You're in really, really, really good shape. You're in a really great place to make this decision. and to make it based on godly wisdom, not on emotional hurt, because that's gone. I said, you took care of all that past. You reconciled the present. Now it's time to talk about trusting moving forward. I said, if you feel this person, God is saying to you, trust them, then trust them. But if Joe's resume gives you any pause, then I would say it's probably saying, it's better to let another church take that risk on Joe. Now, gang, if my friend chose not to hire Joe, it was not because of unforgiveness. It would be because the resume didn't merit trust that was wise. Let me say that again. If my friend did not hire Joe back, it was not because of unforgiveness. It was because the resume just didn't merit trust. Gang, here are some key items to remember when deciding God's trust in a past offender. The first thing to think about, is the problem habitual? Did it last a long time? Is it likely to happen again, or is it just a moment of weakness? Many times something happens that causes an offense, and it's not representative of who a person has been long term. And many relationships have been thrown away, all because of a moment of irresponsibility by a person who's normally very responsible. On the other hand, it is imperative to see that who a person is long term is who a person is. For instance, if a person is habitually negative and always caustic, then without any kind of action plan for change, that person will likely stay that way no matter how much you hope they will change. Second thing to think about, rely on actions, not words. The men in our men's group that Elder Robert was telling us about, we've been learning in experiencing God, and this line came up that is just ground shaking. He said, what you do reveals what you believe about God, regardless of what you say. What you do reveals what you believe about God, regardless of what you say. I have found this statement to be immensely helpful. Henry Blackaby, the one who wrote it, he has one use this to gauge and evaluate one's faith in God, but it works as an accurate appraiser in many, many areas of one's life. What you do reveals your priorities, regardless of what you say. What you do reveals your character, regardless of what you say. What you do reveals your heart condition, regardless of what you say. And what you do reveals your trustworthiness, regardless of what you say. Jesus, the one who tells us to forgive on a never-ending basis, also tells us to evaluate who people are by their fruit. Matthew chapter 17, verse 16, Jesus speaking, you can tell what they are by what they do. Gang, choosing not to entrust a recovering drug addict with your checkbook has nothing to do with being unforgiving of the past. That is a separate issue. Evaluating who we will trust and what we will trust them with, well, that requires godly wisdom. And what a person does reveals their trustworthiness regardless of what they say. That leads us to a third item to look at. Are the action steps to change in place? Gang, remember, Peter came to Jesus and asked him, how many times do I have to forgive my brother? Then he added, will seven times be enough? That means that what Peter was dealing with was an ongoing, recurring offense. For us, we can think about the compulsive liar, the ongoing abuser, the constant gossip, the hooked addict, the enduring offender, and the list goes on. Friend, the difference between hope and false hope is action steps. If someone is desiring to change, but doing nothing different to change, then any hope of transformation is false hope. If, however, steps towards change are taken, well, then there's real hope. And that change can occur, and trust may one day be reissued. Fourth, establish boundaries and consequences. This all started, this whole verse started with a simple question from Peter to Jesus. Now, gang, we don't know exactly what happened in that situation. We have no clue as to what was it that was eating Peter, what had been done. But guess what? Through some incredible archaeological find, we have a possible reason what happened. And I want to show it to you tonight. Yep, that's what happened. At least in my eyes, I think that's what happened. Friends, if there is anything that you memorize from tonight, let it be this. Keep the three movements of forgiveness separate. Forgive the past. Let all the hurt, all the pain, all the anger, and all the insult go. You have to. That is forgiving the past. Then, be willing to reconcile the present. As far as it depends on you, try to fix it. Want the best for that person the same way you did before the offense happened. And then a totally separate issue from the other two is wisely decide what you will trust. What is God asking you to trust in? And what are you confidently willing to risk? As the worship team comes back and our prayer team comes back, maybe what we've been talking about tonight struck a chord. Maybe since we first talked about forgiveness, you've been working on the letting go. And maybe now you're moving on to other issues like, I do need to make that phone call. I need to go get coffee with somebody and try to reconcile. I'm responsible to try and reconcile, and I'm responsible to have the right attitude in it, but I'm not responsible for how the other person reacts. And then, maybe it's time to let go of some things that you thought were wisdom, that you thought were trust, that were really unmerited gambles. God tells us to look at people's fruit and to guard our hearts and be careful where we place our trust. As the worship team plays, think on these things, and then after, we're going to give an opportunity for you to come down and you speak to me. Our worship team, our prayer team will be here. We'll talk through it. But first, let's let God work on our hearts together. Will you stand? Lord, I pray that each of us would be ready now to do what you called us to do when you told Peter, not seven times, 70 times seven. Let go of the past. Reconcile the present. And let me show you where to place your trust in the future. Lord, I pray that each one here would continue to move through the empowering words of the Bible as we think of those this week. And now, Lord, I pray if there's anyone who needs help with the process, tell them, come on forward. Let their heart bring them forward, and we'll give them the help they need and pray them through. Thank you, Lord, for this amazing ability to meet like this in this amazing country, and I pray that you help each of us to give thanks each and every day for the life you've entrusted to us. In Jesus' name, amen. See you next week at 7 o'clock.